You can read about any topic that you want in a book, but you don't really understand it. You don't have the wisdom until you've experienced it through your own life experience. Mm-hmm. So in order to get the wisdom, you have to experience the cringe.
Yes.
You have to get through it by being in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that expression, the only way out is through.
Mm.
So from an adult perspective, it can be easy to just remember the cringe, but I guess what I'm saying is that connecting with ultimately the wisdom of experience is what can help us have gratitude even for the difficult parts of life, of childhood, and gosh, adolescence is a whole. Whew.
Don't you think that maybe those cringe moments are the ones that taught you, like when you said, we didn't know then what we know now? Well, you wouldn't know now what you didn't know then if you didn't have those cringe moments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to have those moments.
That's how you learn.
In order to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There's really no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way out of the human experience without a whole bunch of cringe.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of May 6th to the 12th. Before we begin this show, I just want to express gratitude. Right now, I feel like the last episode just felt really intense for me. I didn't mean for it to be intense, but maybe it's the Mars and Aries thing, but just, yeah. And
we also went into history.
We went into history
last week,
yeah,
which
brings up a lot.
A lot.
Brings up a lot. Yeah. History is intense. And as a Scorpio, I'm very intense, very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio is the deepest, darkest, most passionate sign. And so I want to express my gratitude to Gabriella first.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you.
And being a part of this podcast with me, the Weekly Transit. I want to express my gratitude to all of our listeners for supporting us with your energy.
Mm-hmm.
For listening in, for the comments that you share with us. Anyone who's ever rated us highly on any of the listening platforms or has subscribed to us on YouTube, thank you. And especially to those who are sponsoring our show with a monthly donation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Sarah, Brenna, Kendra, Jasmine, Janelle, Aline, Ricky, Annie, Haley, and Carrie. Thank you so much for your support of our podcast, your financial support. And if you would like to be one of our monthly supporters, you can do so on Spotify, is where you can make a monthly pledge to the Weekly Transit. I also want to express my gratitude to anyone who has ever reached out to me for a reading and has done a reading with me, to all of my cosmic pathway clients, present and past. I'm so grateful. I wake up every day and I'm like, wow, I have the best job that I could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for your all of your support and your trust in me, your vulnerability with me, with Gabriella.
Mm-hmm. You are maybe the most grateful person I know.
Really?
You express it more than anyone I know. And it's important. I think often we feel it and we maybe forget to express it.
Mm-hmm.
And so people around us don't necessarily know how grateful we are.
Yes.
So I appreciate how much you express it.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, yeah. And doing it here is a lovely way to start and kind of ground into the episode.
Yes. Because I feel like we often take life or important people in our life for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly don't want to take you for granted or any of our listeners or my clients. I'm just amazed at like what my life has become over the last 4 years. It's just really amazing. It's just, it blows my mind.
It's been incredible to see your transformation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You've been a big part of it.
I have. For anyone who doesn't know, Scott and I have been together. We celebrated 5 years this year. So I got to witness the whole trajectory for you from working in a restaurant, which I think you were also grateful for.
Totally.
You really have the
ability.
Especially
towards the end. I was most grateful of working there the last 3 years that I worked there because I had discovered this obsession with astrology. And I just felt so fortunate that I could work a job 20 hours a week and pay for everything in my life. Like, who gets to do that? Where, oh, you're working 20 hours a week and you pay your rent and you have food and everything's taken care of and you're working 20 hours a week. I mean, how can you not be grateful for that? And so the rest of the time, outside of that 20 hours, I was spending all my time with my astrology education.
I think too, what you did, which was just feels important, like for anyone who's listening, who might be on the precipice of sort of moving into a new career or a new direction, I think what you did, instead of keeping them like two totally separate parts of your life, you let them start to overlap.
Mm.
And that's what allowed your astrology work to kind of become your main work. Like you brought it into that job and you started telling people about it and looking at their charts and really infusing those two parts of your life.
That restaurant was like my residency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was it was like my residency where I had the date, time, and place of every single person that I worked with. And so every time that I go into work, I'm observing, counseling, helping the people that I worked with and learning from them through the observations.
That's what really inspires me the most about the way you came into this work, is because you really saw your life experience as your schooling and your teachers.
Yes.
And I also love the way that I learned, but it's very traditional compared to someone who's self-taught like you are. It's a really beautiful way to learn, to discover knowledge by just allowing yourself to interact with the world around you and glean whatever you do from that versus going to a higher education institution and enrolling. And it's a very different way of learning. And I think they're both incredibly valuable.
Sure. I think it depends on you.
It depends on you. But I would just say that being self-taught, I think, is rare. I'm not really sure why, but it's such a special way to learn. And so I think that's what makes you so special as an astrologer and just as a human being, that you can orient towards your life in that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hmm.
I see some of my journey in yours as well with my corporate life and then starting to let things overlap, but it took me several years before I was ready to let them overlap. So I feel like I had this split sort of within myself, and that can be a really painful experience. And allowing them to overlap and to become like, have the acknowledgement that you have one life instead of two separate lives, mm-hmm. was a really healing experience for me. But you seemed more able to do that from the get-go. And for me, that was a longer kind of orienting process.
Well, I think I can relate to some of your experiences because, you know, I worked in a restaurant for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of those years where I was so desperately just wanting to be out of there, but didn't know how to get out.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And so I feel like I was able to, COVID was such a blessing for me, you know, because I never had to quit my job. I lost my job. And then I had unemployment to support me.
Me too.
While I was building my business, and by the time unemployment ran out, I didn't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how life can really happen for you sometimes,
mm-hmm.
even in some of the worst circumstances.
And I think it's a process of learning how to work with it instead of against it, to co-create and with that, what's happening, yes. instead of trying to control it.
Absolutely. Co-create. That's the big thing for me with the astrology, is I saw in 2019 where the planets were moving in 2020 in relation to my astrological code.
Mm-hmm.
And I said by July of 2020, I think I'm not going to be working in the restaurant anymore.
Mm, you knew.
Yes. I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but I just knew that that's where the energy was moving. And I was doing everything on my end to build towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March, I lost my job. So it happened a little bit sooner than I anticipated, but it was perfect timing all the same.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that I cleaned out my desk at my corporate yes. job about a month before I was laid off?
You got laid off, yes.
Yeah, I remember going in and the office was shut down because it was COVID and mm-hmm. everybody was working from home. And I had gone in to just get some samples that I needed for a meeting. And I thought, I think I'm going to take everything with me. Like, just had this feeling that had been building for some time. You know, it started to feel to me like when you're skiing and your legs start to get too far apart, you're like, well, I'm going to have to pick a direction because I'm not that flexible here. So something's got to give.
Yes.
And that was the day I took everything home, my sweet office plants and all my tchotchke stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Wow. What a moment.
It was a big moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember that.
So I'm incredibly grateful for you, since we're on the topic of gratitude, for creating this podcast, because it wouldn't exist if it weren't for you.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have gotten a chance to step into this role and be sharing some of what I know,
right.
which has been a fun and challenging experience for me.
Yes.
So this is really you. You're the foundation of this podcast, no matter who's sitting here next to you.
This is yours. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners, who I feel like have started to become my listeners too.
Mm-hmm.
To those of you who started like connecting with me on Instagram, and it means a lot to me and helps me feel more connected than just talking to a computer screen.
It's the connections that you have with the people that we're touching through this podcast that really, like, every time I do a reading with someone, they're like, thank you so much for the podcast. It really means something special to me. So
it does. Mm-hmm. And I have clients that I'm working with now on a weekly
because of the podcast. And yes, exactly.
It's really,
that makes me so happy too.
Yeah, it's really special to be able to connect with some of you on a deeper level that way. So I would just open an invitation for anyone else who's feeling connected to working with me.
Yep.
I have a way to work together, whether you're in California or not. Mm-hmm. So I have opened up my resources to be able to work with those who are out of state. So if you have any questions about that or want to talk about the details, I have a website I've been working on for quite a while that mm-hmm. should be done soon that we'll have information to. But in the meantime, you can reach out to me via email.
At InnerVision Psychotherapy?
So the website, the private practice that I'm a part of is called InnerVisionPsychotherapy.com. Mm-hmm. But my email address is hello@GabriellaDurso.com, mm-hmm. which is my website which will be complete soon.
Excellent.
But you can also reach out on Instagram if you're having trouble finding me otherwise. So
amazing.
Gratitude into a sales pitch.
Yes.
Isn't that the American way? No, just kidding.
Well, you know, the reason why I'm thinking about gratitude also is because this week is the week of the new moon in Taurus.
Hmm.
And there's two transits that are occurring before the new moon at the beginning of the week that we'll talk about, and then two transits at the end of the week after the new moon. But Taurus is about values and self-worth. And there's really three signs that we're talking about this week. And each of the three signs are three of the signs that we've been talking about every week for the last several weeks, because everything, all the planets are in these three signs: Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. Of course, there's Pluto in Aquarius. That's the loner. But Pisces, mutable water, symbolized by the fish. Aries, cardinal fire, comes after Pisces. That's symbolized by the ram. And then Taurus, fixed earth, which comes after Aries, which is symbolized by the bull. So in talking about these transits that we're going to discuss this week, I think it's really important to think about how these three signs build upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
Pisces is the final sign. It carries the weight of the 11 previous signs. It's the sign that represents compassion, intuition, dreams, fantasy, illusion, deception. There's the light and the shadow with everything.
Mm-hmm.
With this Pisces energy, we are wanting to go within and really discover parts of ourselves that have maybe been hidden.
Hmm.
It's like you're going through an old box that you've kept in the garage, and you open it up and it's like, oh my God, what's this?
I just did this the other day. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Phase. Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wow, what is this object, or what are these photos, or this, it's taking you back. It's bringing up parts of your past that are giving you a deeper look at yourself, because you're seeing yourself from where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's parts of yourself that you'd forgotten about that you're rediscovering. And through that rediscovery, it's important to make peace with yourself, to show yourself compassion. You know, when you're able to look at a photo of yourself when you're a child.
Hmm.
You know, the way that we may speak to ourselves sometimes for the choices that we've made in the past is not how you would speak to somebody that age that was in your life now.
Mm-hmm.
You look at them and you're like, oh, they're a teenager, you know. Or they're, you know, 8 years old.
Yeah.
You got to give them a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when you look back at those photos of yourself from that age, give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
And show yourself compassion so you can integrate any thought patterns and memories around guilt, shame, regret, or blame with understanding, forgiveness, and love for yourself. Because once you do that, then you can be reborn, where we move to the first sign, which is Aries, which comes after the last sign, which is Pisces. Pisces is mutable water, so it's like holding everything.
Mm-hmm.
As we transmute into Aries fire, cardinal, it's the spark. It's lighting the flame.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sign of courage and self-love. Love, courage stems from love. If you are courageous, then you can be confident. If you love yourself, you can be courageous. If you're courageous, then you can be confident. If you're confident, then you can be authentic. But you can't do any of that unless you've forgiven yourself for the guilt, shame, regret, or blame by showing yourself compassion. If you haven't done that, then what Aries becomes is arrogance, cockiness, fear, foolishness.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to remember when we're looking at these, you know, these metaphorical or literal photos of ourselves from childhood, is that our brains weren't even fully developed.
Yeah.
When you think about that and acknowledge the reality that our brains weren't fully developed, I mean, for me, that's my entryway into compassion is through this sort of like a left brain logical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking about this with my therapist yesterday, this concept that we didn't know then what we know now.
Mm.
And there's something about that that is comforting and also like makes me cringe.
Tell me more about the cringing.
It's kind of two sides of the same coin, I guess. The cringe is just, it's a little bit like watching something play out that you know might not end well.
Mm.
But there's value in having had that experience. You know, you can read about any topic that you want in a book, but you don't really understand it. You don't have the wisdom until you've experienced it through your own life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get the wisdom, you have to experience the cringe.
Yes.
You have to get through it by being in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that expression, the only way out is through.
Mm.
So from an adult perspective, it can be easy to just remember the cringe, but I guess what I'm saying is that connecting with ultimately the wisdom of experience is what can help us have gratitude even for the difficult parts of life, of childhood, and gosh, adolescence is a whole. Ooh.
Don't you think that maybe those cringe moments are the ones that taught you, like when you said, we didn't know then what we know now? Well, you wouldn't know now what you didn't know then if you didn't have those cringe moments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to have those moments.
That's how you learn.
In order to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There's really no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way out of the human experience without a whole bunch of cringe. It's like, and no, that is not a Jungian term. No, I'm kidding. But
it's a Gabriella term. I like that. There's no, you can't get out of, what'd you say? Say it again.
You can't get out without a whole lot of cringe.
Yeah,
you
can't
something.
Get out of this life without a whole lot of cringe. Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of like retraction.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Uh-huh.
That was real.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you move on and you get through that cringe and you find that self-love through the cringe and you have confidence in being yourself, being authentically yourself, then we move on to Taurus, the fixed earth sign, which follows Aries, which is ruled by Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, which Venus is transiting through Taurus right now. And this is where you develop that self-worth. Because you have the self-confidence to say that I am worth this. And so when you talk about, you know, the gratitude, then the sales pitch and that whole thing, but you're valuing yourself. It's really inspiring for me to see you learning to value yourself in the way that I think is really obvious to me, but maybe not always obvious to you. And so through the work that you're doing and the feedback that you're receiving from your clients, you're starting to realize like, oh, wow, I am good at this. I'm helping people. They are appreciating me. You feel valued.
I do.
And so, yes. Yes.
And I hope they feel valued
as
well.
I think they do. I imagine they do. Yes.
They're coming back. So that's an indication of something.
Yeah, exactly.
Something positive is happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess the gratitude into the sales pitch was really, I'm grateful and would like more of what I'm grateful for. I'm ready for more of what I'm grateful for.
Exactly.
I think that's what that was about.
Yes. You're ready for more of what you're grateful for, which is appreciating yourself. Like when you think of Taurus, it's symbolized by the bull. The stockbrokers want a bull market. That means that their stocks are appreciating. They're going up. It's the bear market that goes down. No offense.
Oh.
Durso, which is, Durso is...
My last name means of the bear.
Of the bear in Italian.
Oh, okay.
So you're channeling your inner bull. Yes.
I had someone say to me recently before a session that they felt like they were energetically going into the bear cave. And they had positive associations with the bear cave.
Good.
So nobody get worried. But
yes.
Yeah, but it...
Yeah, the negative connotation with the bear, you know, I think the reason why, and I'm just making this up right now, I could totally be wrong, but in just my intuitive understanding of why is it called a bear market, I think because it's going into hibernation.
Yeah, it's passive. It's
yeah,
holding.
Exactly. Like they don't want to, the stockbrokers don't want a bear market because it's not awake, it's asleep. It's in hibernation, and we want it to wake up and have that energy of the bull.
Right.
So the first transit of the week is the sun, the giver of light, life, and vitality, transiting through the sign of the bull, the fixed earth sign, Taurus, forming a sextile, a positive aspect to Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority in the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish, Pisces. So here we have the first transit that we're talking about with Taurus and Pisces. This transit is occurring at 17 degrees. So I encourage you to take a look at your astrological code. What is at 17 degrees in fixed signs? Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, or earth and water signs? Those are the signs that are aligning most strongly to this aspect, which is occurring from, actually began late last week, Saturday, to this Wednesday. So May 4th to the 8th, but it makes its exact sextile on Monday, May 6th. So this is, to me, a powerful manifestation transit. There's a lot of manifestation energy that is occurring here. So this week, not just with this transit, but with other transits as well. So what do you want to manifest for yourself? What do you want to create for yourself? What are you creating in your unconscious mind or in your dream world? And how is that manifesting into your reality? Like there's that phrase, fake it till you make it. And I think of that in terms of like, hey, this is my dream. And I'm not the thing yet, but I'm going to pretend like I am the thing that I want to be until I am the thing that I want to be. And in a sense, that's kind of like my experience as an astrologer.
I think faking it is kind of harsh language. It is a harsh
language, but
like, could we just say like dream it until you make it or something?
Dream it until you see it, or dream it until you be it. I don't know. Yeah, fake it is definitely a harsh, because I don't think I was faking being an astrologer. I wouldn't say
you were faking it.
I certainly wasn't, but
you were you were trying it on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think of it as like if you're a kid and you are wanting to be a professional athlete, you're not a professional athlete yet, but you are putting on the uniform and holding the ball and throwing the ball, and you're not at the level of professional, but you are doing what you can to embody that dream into reality.
It also reminds me of an expression I always liked. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And I think that speaks to some of this. Embody the qualities that you anticipate needing in the future.
Yes.
Essentially, exactly. Is what sort of both of those are saying.
Yes. That I love that. That it makes me think of my grandpa who owned a clothing store, and his motto was, when you look your best, you do your best. And so that is kind of what we're talking about here. It's like, be what your dream is.
Yes.
Be what your dream is right here with this sun in Taurus sextile, Saturn in Pisces, which is happening from last Saturday to this Wednesday. The second transit of the week is Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, which has completed its retrograde transit, but is now still in the shadow. And as it continues through the shadow, it forms a conjunction with Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound in the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, Aries. So in order to look your best, do your best, be the job that you want to have, that's, or dress for the job that you
dress or for, be the job
be
yeah,
the job
that works
dress,
too sure.
Dress for the job that you want to have, that is, in order to dress for the job that you want, you need to have confidence. You need to have confidence up here in your mind, in the way that you think about yourself. And that's what Mercury conjunct Chiron is about. It is about facing your fears, consciously facing your fears and insecurities. Now, this is the third time that this conjunction has occurred since March. It happened on March 20th when Mercury was moving forward. It happened on April 15th when Mercury was moving retrograde. And now it's happening again, exact on Monday, May 6th, as Mercury transits direct again. This is occurring from last Friday, May 2nd, to this coming Thursday, May 9th. This is a longer period because Mercury is still moving a little bit slower than normal. So it's giving us that extra time to focus on our mental attitude towards ourselves.
Yeah. I wonder, can we talk a little bit about how do you get from the wound to the wisdom? Because I think there's maybe some information there for us to, maybe we can sort of
the way that you get,
hash that out.
Yeah, the way that you get from the wound to wisdom is remembering the story of Chiron, who was a centaur, half man, half horse, half brother of Zeus. Chiron was a great warrior, a great scholar, and a teacher to many other great warriors, including Achilles, Jason, and Hercules. Chiron was wounded by Hercules with a poisoned spear. From that wound, Chiron couldn't heal because he was poisoned, but he also couldn't die because he was a god. And so in his eternal suffering, he remembered Prometheus, who had been chained to a rock next to the oceans, for the waves to break against his body and the birds to peck upon his flesh for eternity as punishment by Zeus for stealing fire from the gods to give to the humans. Chiron, in his infinite wisdom, remembered Prometheus and said, "We both don't need to suffer. I will accept his punishment." And in doing so, Zeus was so moved by his brother's act of compassion that he eased his suffering by transforming him into the constellation of Sagittarius. So going from wound to wisdom, Chiron had a wound that he couldn't recover from, but used the wound to help someone else.
So he actually took on more wounding.
He's like, "I'm already suffering. I will take on more suffering, because how can, in taking on more, it's just going to be suffering. I'm already suffering." So, and through that, Zeus was moved by his brother's act of compassion and transformed him into the constellation of Sagittarius. So now everyone's suffering was relieved. So when you think about Chiron, and this is something that I talk about with anyone, especially if you have, if you're having a reading with me for the first time, we get into Chiron. And it's important to remember that we all have a wound. We all have a wound that we feel like we can't recover from. But what the story of Chiron teaches us is that by using the experience of our wound to help others who have a similar wound to us, we can help other people that we would not be able to help if it were not for our wound.
So part of what facilitates that shift from wound to wisdom is compassion.
Compassion,
that's a link.
Yes, compassion for yourself, compassion for others, compassion and understanding that whatever wound you've experienced, it's not meant to cause you eternal suffering. It's meant for you to use that wound to help others who are suffering from a similar wound. So this Mercury transit is giving us the confidence, the courage to look at that wound consciously, to be aware of it, to say, "I see this, this is my wound. What am I going to do about it? Who can I help through the pain of my suffering?" Because there are other people out there that are suffering that don't have that level of awareness that you have in this moment. And it is through your level of awareness that you can go to someone else and say, "I've had a similar experience. This is what happened to me." And you know what happens when you do that to someone? They're shocked because they don't see you for your wound. We get stuck in this loop of thinking that the world is against me. That I'm the one that's cursed.
Right.
I look at Gabriella like, her life is perfect. You know, and we do this with celebrities all the time, where we put them up on this pedestal and we think that their lives are just, they've got it all figured out. No, they've suffered too. And so when you share with somebody the story of your pain and suffering, that's when the switch flips, because they're like, "You went through that? I would have never guessed that by my understanding of knowing of you. I never would have guessed that you'd suffered in that way. And that then inspires them. Like if you have overcome that and are still the amazing woman that I see her before me right now, then I know that I too can heal my wound and reach my full potential as a human being. And when you see that recognition within the other, that is when you will heal. Because you'll come to realize that if it wasn't for the pain and suffering that you experience, you wouldn't be able to help the person in front of you that you're helping right now. And that's how you transmute the wound to wisdom. So this Mercury Chiron transit is maybe giving you the courage to authentically share your wound with another.
I'm also thinking, too, that having the wound can prevent you from passing it on, too, being more conscious of the wound.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, for example, in a family where generational trauma keeps getting passed down, patterns keep getting repeated, and then you have someone who has enough consciousness of the wound itself to say, I'm not going to pass this on anymore.
Yes.
And that's its own form of wisdom. Because when you've been wounded, you understand the wound, you understand what would heal it or what would prevent it. Like what is the action to take instead of facilitating the wound, you know, that creates a healthier dynamic.
Yes.
And I see that a lot happening in families.
How it gets passed down.
How it gets passed down, but how it gets stopped too.
Exactly.
How you have someone, you know, with the awareness that they don't want to pass down their wound.
And they're willing to do the work to heal themselves.
And that's where it starts.
And so continuing on with the new moon in Taurus, this is hopefully going to help give you the foundation of self-worth and values, where you can say, I know that I'm wounded. I've experienced this pain, but I know that I didn't deserve that. And my life still has value. Despite that wound, I'm not damaged goods. I have value. That's what this new moon in Taurus is really wanting to support. The collective humanity, mankind, to really value yourself.
I have kind of a secret theory that the reason that so many people suffer from not having meaningful jobs or hating their work, I think that's a huge issue of our time, is the wound around work, especially the wound that can be created in these corporate environments. I think it's because we're not willing to face our wound and therefore find the wisdom.
We're not willing to face it and therefore find the wisdom. So we don't find the wisdom, is what you're saying.
We don't find the wisdom. We don't connect this idea that our work can be healing, or that our work can be connected to a larger purpose. I think we've sort of sequestered work into this own category of sort of, we slog to the office in a 9-to-5. And I'm not saying everybody feels this way. You know, I worked with people who really loved being in the fashion industry. And that's part of what helped me see that it wasn't my place. So this isn't everybody, but for anyone listening who might be stuck a little bit in this 9-to-5 hustle, I wonder if there's a way that reconnecting with your wound could help you figure out what you'd rather be doing.
Yes.
I think that's the way in.
Yes.
And we have a tendency to suppress the wound, or we don't want to look at it. Especially if we don't understand it.
Totally.
And so we end up with sort of a split and end up feeling like our work isn't meaningful. And because work is such a large part of our lives, it can start to mean, if work isn't meaningful, that maybe my life isn't meaningful. And that's a really, that's a dark place to be in that I've personally been in for at least a decade.
That's such a good point. Such a good point. And I think this Taurus new moon is maybe helping us see that, because like, what is the state of your reality? Taurus is about reality. So what does your living situation look like? What does your financial situation look like? What is, you know, how do you take care of your body? And what do you truly value? When you look at, when you think of value too, it's not just value in terms of what do I buy that I like? I mean, there's people out there that they make millions of dollars doing their job and they don't like their job.
Right.
So they spend their money on other things that they don't really value. They spend it as soon as they make it because they don't really value what they're doing to make the money. So they spend their money on other stuff that doesn't have value.
They're trying to make themselves feel better.
They're trying to fill the hole, right? And so this Taurus new moon is about values and self-worth. Like, what are you doing for your work? Do you value what you do for work?
Because that changes the energetics of the money itself.
Mm-hmm.
When the money comes through something you value, you're going to value what you use it for.
Yes.
In simple terms.
Yes.
If it comes through something you hate, it's changing the relationship with that money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this new moon is happening at 18 degrees in Taurus. If you're curious to know how this lunar cycle or any lunar cycle is affecting you directly, then I encourage you to enroll in my moon cycle classes at theweeklytransit.com. This new moon is occurring at 18 degrees in Taurus on May 7th at 8:22 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. So it's on Tuesday is when this is happening, Pacific Time. But 18 degrees, what's in your chart at 18 degrees? In fixed signs, earth signs, or water signs, those are the signs that are going to be aligning most strongly to this new moon. And it's really meant to enliven your senses in terms of what you value in your self-worth so that you can set intentions moving forward that are in alignment with your self-worth and your values.
Beautiful.
Now, as we close the week, there's two aspects that are going to continue into next week, but they're beginning this week. The first one involves the sun, again in Taurus, forming a conjunction with Uranus, which begins on Friday and continues into next Wednesday. That's May 10th to the 15th, with the exact conjunction happening on Monday, May 13th. But there, as you set your intentions in the early part of the week, there could be some sort of wake-up call. That's Uranus, the primordial sky god, the planet of revolution, rebellion, independence, innovation, the unexpected. This is the wake-up call to your values. How do I identify? What is my self-worth? How can I create financial independence for myself where I feel like what I'm doing for work is honoring my self-worth and in accordance with my values? Mm-hmm. Where I'm not dependent on a job that is sucking at my soul.
So could this transit mean that we might get new insights around what we value?
I think so.
Because it's interesting to consider how values change throughout life too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing. It's like when you find yourself in a job that you don't like, you probably didn't start that job thinking like, I'm going to hate this job.
Maybe, maybe not, but...
Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But right. I think in my own experiences, I've always gone into a new job with a sense of optimism. And maybe that's just me. I don't know. You know, maybe people are like, I got to get a job and I'm going to hate it or whatever. But, you know, regardless, the person who took the job is different from the person who has the job now. And the person that put themselves in the position to take the job that they didn't like from the get-go is different than the person that they are right now. So if you said you wanted something, that's because maybe that's what you valued 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Now your values have changed. Since they've changed, you need to start making choices that are in accordance with your current values.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say something about that too. That when your values change, I think it's a process of restructuring that can take some time. So
think of the bull.
The
bull moves slow, right?
I'm thinking in my circumstances, leaving the corporate world, going back to grad school, going through a multi-year process, mm-hmm. It takes time to, it's like laying a new foundation of a house or changing the floors in your house. Like you got to rip up the old, deconstruct what the values were, and then you have to go out and find what you want to replace it with. And so it sounds like this transit is going to deliver us some sort of flashes of insight. But in terms of how to implement those, that part could be a bit more complicated or time consuming.
Yes, it takes time. And that leads us to the final transit of the week, which is Venus transiting through Taurus, a sign that it rules, aligning with Saturn in Pisces. So values, Venus, time, Saturn. This was the alignment that the Sun made at the beginning of the week. Now Venus is where the Sun was. This is at 17 degrees. This begins at the very end of the week, around Sunday, May 12th, and continues until Tuesday, May 14th, with the exact sextile happening on Monday, May 13th next week. You can't do it alone either. That's where Venus comes in. It's not just values, but it's relationships. Aligning yourself with other people that have similar values, similar goals, are on a similar timeline as you, and working with them together. So at the beginning of the week, we're manifesting our dreams into reality. Now we're manifesting our relationships from dream to reality through our senses and values. So when you commit to that new moon frequency of this is my self-worth, these are my values, you're going to sort of send out that mating call, that beacon that's going to attract other people into your life that have similar values, similar sense of self-worth, and can be people that are going to help you achieve your goals and ambitions just as you will help them achieve theirs. And that's the beauty. I mean, just going back to the beginning of what we were talking about, like that's what I do. I'm helping other people achieve their goals and ambitions. And in doing so, they're helping me achieve my goals and ambitions.
Absolutely.
And that's the frequency of the week.
So it's reciprocity.
Yes.
It's a powerful exploration. And it can take some getting used to if you don't have the habit of checking in with yourself in that way.
Absolutely. And that's what these reminders are for.
Absolutely. Our first question comes from Manuel. Thank you for the moon return tip. How significant are the degrees of a constellation, asteroid, or planet in a chart? Example, Sirius 1 degree Aries in 11th, Moon 5 degrees Taurus in 12th, and Sun 8 degrees Pisces in 10th house.
Okay, thank you for the question, Manuel. The degrees, I look at the significance of the degrees in terms of like what we're talking about on the show here in terms of the transits. Like the new moon in Taurus is at 18 degrees. What's at 18 degrees in your chart? These alignments with the Sun and Venus and Saturn are at 17 degrees. The conjunction with Chiron and Mercury is at 22 degrees. Like that is the address, tells you what is connecting in your chart to the transiting planets. That is the significance of the degrees to me. Now, there are also esoteric meanings of the degrees. If you're interested, there's a book called The Sabian Symbols in Astrology by Mark Edmund Jones. This is a rather old book. I mean, this was published this was published in 1953. The most recent reprinted edition that I have was 1972, was when this version was published. So it gives quite a long passage, and it's very, very esoteric, like dreamy, like for example, the moon at 5 degrees in Taurus. Okay, so
is this based on numerology or something else?
The inside flap says, this is one of the most comprehensive astrological books ever published. It contains the Sabian degrees now in use all over the world. For each of the 360 fundamental divisions of the zodiac, it gives a symbolic picture and interpretation of the symbol in present-day psychological significance. A key word for use in quick or at-sight analysis, the positive and negative influence of a horoscope, the formula by which the degree has relationship to any of the others, and a listing of all the planets found in it, except Neptune and Pluto, that do not make this circuit, out of 1,000 example horoscopes. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Taurus 5 degrees is a window to an open grave.
Okay. Let's hear more.
This is the symbol. Yeah, I don't want to leave you with that, Manuel.
Yeah, that's...
this is a symbol of the impermanence of physical things whenever man permits reality to come to center in the static representation and thus neglects the creative contribution through which he has responsibility for the larger whole. Implicit in this reverse symbolism is the need for an inner and constant return to every enduring value achieved by the self and for a complete and immediate release from all outworn elements of experience. The key word is reorientation. When positive, the degree is man's genius for personal aplomb or an effective transcendence of disappointment and delay in an ever-spiraling self-discovery, and when negative, surrender to frustration or descent to ineptitude.
What does that mean to you?
Well, I think it's really interesting that we're talking about this because it's Taurus, it's values, and what it's saying is that nothing is permanent. This couch that we're sitting on right now, one day will not exist. We will one day not exist in this physical form.
Right.
So this is about understanding the transcendence of life, that life moves through phases and stages, and that thing that you're holding on to, that material thing, at some point will not be a thing. And this is about that acceptance. So it's a window to an open grave, to recognize that everything must die.
Everything must die to be reborn.
Yes, exactly. That's the transcendence.
Right.
It's transcending disappointment and delay. And as you transcend it, you enter that ever-spiraling self-discovery. You learn about yourself.
So for Manuel, this is connected to his emotional nature.
Yes. So, Manuel, let us know. How does this sound to you? Excited to hear your reflection.
It's interesting to consider, yeah, it makes sense with the moon, thinking about how the moon waxes and wanes and goes through its own sort of death and rebirth cycle. It just feels like powerful imagery to pair with what you read.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. The moon is a great reminder of the impermanence because it looks different every day.
Right. And we're living within the cycles of the moon, but we also have a cycle every day when we go to sleep and wake up.
Exactly.
That's not an obvious death process, but it is a process of slipping away into your unconscious. So this is making me think about these other cycles that we experience.
Yes.
Rather than this, you know, the largest cycle being our physical birth and death, but the ways that we sort of relate to that in smaller ways throughout life more consistently.
Yes.
What a great book.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I'm going to look at this later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Our next question comes from something something L. My mother is an Aries sun and moon, Cancer rising, and I'm a Gemini sun, Sagittarius moon, and an Aquarius rising. Any thoughts on how to safely coexist? I'd love to spend time with my mom without dissociating and having a consistent emotional hangover afterwards.
So, you know, this is where the degrees would be helpful and seeing the whole chart, because, you know, just knowing the primal triad, it's vague. It's vague. You know, when I see Aries sun, Gemini sun, I'm thinking, well, these two people are going to get along, because Aries is the fire that raises the air of Gemini, and Gemini is the air that fuels the fire of Aries. Aries is a leader, and Gemini is going to go with the flow. So that's how those two work together. Or when I see Sagittarius moon, Aries sun, I'm like, okay, that's going to be a great match because they're both fire. One's mutable, one's cardinal, one's going to lead, one's going to go along and support the other. But we don't know where they're aligning to one another. They may be, the sun could be at 1 degree in Gemini and the other sun could be at 18 degrees in Aries, which is not making that connection.
Right.
So, you know, the Cancer rising, that also is curious as well, because I think Aries sun and moon are one of those squaring the Cancer rising. Maybe that makes your mother someone that can be challenging to deal with at times, because maybe her identity is in conflict to her personality, or her emotions are in conflict to her personality.
So there could be some inconsistency there.
Yes. But I also see like the Aquarius rising, Cancer rising. That right there is kind of like an oil and water match. So if mom is uncomfortable, or something something L is uncomfortable, they're exuding their rising signs.
Right.
And mom, the Cancer rising, is going to be very sensitive, very emotional, and something something L, Aquarius rising, is going to be somewhat detached. It's like, oh my God, you're crying again? Like, just like, okay, just maybe that's where some of the disassociating comes from, because mom is so emotional.
mm-hmm.
that it's like, I can't deal with this.
I have to get some space.
Yeah, exactly.
So the emotional hangover is maybe about the mother's emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And that's needing to detach from the mother's emotions mm-hmm. is what's happening here, perhaps. And you know, there's a lot of fire here with mom's Aries sun and moon and something, something else, Sagittarius moon. I imagine that when the emotions come up, it's like gasoline all over the house and let's light a match.
Right.
And like this thing's a tinderbox, you know, it's mm-hmm. like we're, yeah, there's a lot of fire being spewed mm-hmm. perhaps between the two of you.
I think what would help, because she's asking
yeah,
how...
to safely coexist.
How to safely coexist, which I think is a really beautiful intention.
Yes.
That feels really within reach. Mm-hmm. I love that safely coexist feels
yes.
really good. I would say looking at both of the charts in totality
mm-hmm.
can help you understand both the gifts and the challenges.
Right.
To bring them both more into conscious awareness.
Right.
Because I'm sure that there are gifts here in terms of what's aligning. And when you start to feel that those challenges come up, I know you like to say that the gifts are here to support us directly with mm-hmm. the challenges in our chart. So that would give you some information, something in your toolbox to reach for
mm-hmm.
when things start to feel challenging.
Yes.
And I think we have a tendency in general not to always be aware of what our gifts are
mm-hmm.
because they come so naturally to us.
Exactly. 100%. Yes. So true. Like it just stays unopened because
right.
of that.
We think everyone is good at
yeah,
this or
exactly.
this isn't really that special.
Yes. Yes.
So that would be my suggestion without us having any more information.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think that's a great suggestion. To really know what else is going on in the chart. Like, I just think of myself with my own mom, you know, and learning her chart really helped me in my relationship with her.
I feel the same way about my family yeah. members.
Yeah, not just my mom, everyone.
Yeah.
So, where I stopped pressing them or pushing on them in certain ways, like, I was able to break old habitual patterns that only caused everyone involved, myself included, suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized that, oh, my mom is like this. So, okay, I need to just adjust my behavior a little differently. And lo and behold, there aren't any more problems in the way that there were before.
And I think, too, learning about your loved ones' astrological charts can also help you realize that they're not personally out to get
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly.
That this is who they are.
Exactly.
And it can help offer some acceptance
yes.
about who they are.
Yes.
You know, we have a tendency to think that everything that happens to us when we interact with other people is personal.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, yes, there is an alchemical reaction that happens between two people's charts, but people are also operating from that same perspective with more than one person in their life, typically. So there can be a tendency to take something personally that's
not personal.
Actually not personal.
Right.
And I know it's really hard to say that when it's a parent, because
mm-hmm.
nothing feels more personal than a relationship with a parent.
Yes.
But it can create some distance or some separation in a way that I think can provide acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
It gets you into your left brain too, which is your logical brain.
Which is good for the Aquarius rising.
Yeah.
You know, this is an Aquarius rising. Aquarius is the sign that rules astrology. So I encourage you something, something L to really look in deeper not to how everything is connecting in the chart.
Yeah, and come have a reading with Scott.
There you go, exactly. And I do readings for family members.
Yes.
Whether it's like both family members are there or it's just one family member, it's like, help me out with my mom, you know? And I will look at the mom's chart with the client's chart and I say, okay, well, this is, you know, where there's some challenges. This is where there's gifts. Because as I always say, like, my objective is to help you understand who you are so that you can accept, appreciate, and love the divine, unique miracle that is you. But part of that is also helping you understand your loved ones so that you can once you understand your loved ones and then accept them for who they are, then you can appreciate them for who they are and then love them for who they are. And that creates the cohesion and flow in the family where it's like getting mad at a dog for barking. Why is this dog always barking? Because it's a dog. Well, I wanted it to meow. Well, it doesn't do that. That's a cat. It's like getting mad at a cat for not barking. Like you said, you'll find that your family members aren't doing it to get at you. It's just how they were created by the planets and stars.
Right.
It's who they are.
So we'll start with the intention to coexist and see if we can get to love.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And I'm sure there's love already present.
Oh, of course. But yeah, even asking the question, there's love.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So thank you, something, something, L. I hope this is helpful to you.
Our next question comes from Shell X Beach. Thank you so much. Speaking of finding where you fit, my Mars conjuncts my North Node in Taurus in the 11th house, Capricorn Moon. I often stand at the crossroads of codependency of career. How to find balance?
Okay, so Mars is conjunct the North Node in Taurus in the 11th house. So this is a great question for right now because we've been talking about Taurus. Shell X Beach is meant to focus on her self-worth and values. With Mars there, she's being given the energy to go after what she values and to have the courage to create healthy boundaries that honor her self-worth. Standing at the crossroads of codependency in career. So the Capricorn moon, very driven to achieve goals and ambitions. What is it the nature of the codependency though? If you are clear about your values, then whatever your career is needs to be in accordance with your values.
When I hear codependency, I think lack of boundaries.
Okay.
And I think that in order to know what your values are, that might require boundaries.
Okay, yes.
If you're surrounded by people who don't share your values, then it's going to require boundaries for you to have your own values. I'm wondering if that resonates.
Yeah, me too.
Because codependency is essentially outsourcing to others to determine how we're going to feel. And that in and of itself is a loose boundary. So that could be, to me, that's the South Node in Scorpio, which Scorpio is about merging power and not holding on to boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I think this codependency is related to the South Node.
Yes. So are you determining your level of achievement based on whether or not other people think that you have achieved, or does your sense of achievement stem from your own values?
Right. Are you choosing a career that benefits other people in a way that gives you meaning? That's like a circular way for you to get meaning.
Like my mom always wanted me to do fill in the blank. So that's right. What I'm doing. And
so I have to make her happy first in order for me to be happy.
Exactly.
That's the circular nature of codependency.
Right.
And versus just staying within your own system of what works for you.
So just using this hypothetical example, Shellac's Beach would need to create healthy boundaries around her values versus her mother's values. Mm-hmm. If it is, if in this hypothetical scenario, we're saying that Shellac's Beach's mom wants Shellac's Beach to fill in the blank, whatever her job is, and that's why she's doing the job. It's about creating that boundary between her and the mom that says, no, I'm doing this job because this is what I value, mm-hmm. and not because my mom or anyone else fill in the blank values.
Right. And I would say the first step to determining what your values are and having an awareness of what you'd like your boundaries to be is a process of becoming more conscious.
Hmm. That's it.
In simple terms, becoming more conscious. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that understanding how anger is showing up in your life can be a real indication of where your boundaries are being crossed.
Absolutely, especially with Mars there. Right, yes. Conjunct the North Node. So
where are you angry?
Yes.
Where you might not understand why, and that's going to help you tap into where there's a boundary that's been crossed.
Amazing. Excellent. Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of our listeners, and thank you for your questions. We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Music written by Ben Leinbach from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.